All right. What's up, guys? It's Gutex. Welcome back to the Untitled Esports Show. I am joined by a couple of esports veterans. To my left, I guess that's your right, the world's number one esports consultant, Slasher.
And is this where I talk, or are you going to intro Zorin first? We're not exactly set on what the fuck we're doing with this intro. Ryan, you're going to figure out who's left and right eventually. One of these days, one is left, one is right, and we'll figure out who talks first.
What's the hurry? What's the hurry, Rod?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Great intro.
Thank you.
To my other left, another esports veteran, content producer, all-around creative, and all-around cool person, Zorin. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you. So many. Did you just snort? Thank you. So many accolades. I appreciate it. Really great to be back. Real excited. We're going to drop some spicy topics on everyone today.
Oh, yes.
Hope you're all ready.
Speaking of spicy topics, are there any spicy topics that could or should be addressed that were left over from last week in terms of things that we didn't quite get to?
I mean, there's always stuff left over. Let's see.
Specifically, any sort of like Soulja Boy blunt smoking endeavors.
Unfortunately, we still have not smoked a blunt yet, and I'm actually in a depression right now.
Oh,
so if all of you could PayPal me in easy cash, send some money to help me.
To help you what? Get past it?
Yeah. That would make me feel a lot better.
I'll see what I can do.
Great. Thank you.
Anytime.
Nice.
So
is that it? Zorin, you got anything?
No, I'm good, thank you. I don't want to use this platform to beg for donations, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Ooh. I like it. Oh, it's fierce.
We're starting off good today.
Oh, you know it. You know it.
I mean, I have a private Snapchat too, Zorin. Okay? It's not like I'm giving it away for free, all right? I have good content for people out there that want to see the other side. Yeah,
the
exactly.
The other side
Slasher
of esports?
Slasher uncensored.
I mean, do you know how many female supporters that I have? I mean, and men too. But I have a good amount of women. It's the other side, Ryan. I mean, I've seen yours. You do a pretty good job.
Even Ryan doesn't know about this.
Look it. According to NCAA president Mark something or other, Mark Emmert, esports is about 99% males, and my social media analytics reflect that statement.
Damn, so, that's a nice segue into it.
Yeah, but everyone loves Gutex's PogChamp.
If you know,
take
you
that
know.
How you will.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the real face of Twitch.
That's right. Let everybody
so to
know.
Speak.
Use your... Yes.
Yeah, use your head. Everyone, use your pod champs. Make sure you put a Jimmy hat on it, though.
There we go.
Yeah.
There
you gotta put a Jimmy hat on your pod champ.
Safety
first. Safety first. Exactly, Ryan. Safety first.
Oh, my God. I just... All right, topics, let's go.
All right, well, I guess let's start by recapping the weekend. Zorin, it was a big weekend for Dragon Ball FighterZ in Los Angeles. Apparently in the same building as one of my non-esports friends lived in and was totally surprised by it.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see someone in chat was already asking about it, so glad to see there's some interest. I dropped by... the event, it was held in the Majestic downtown, which I think is like normally like a bar slash club venue. So it was a little bit small, but they did fill the venue. Like the finals, it was packed like in the audience, which is nice to see. And it is the very first culmination of the World Tour. So I was interested to see what they would do with it. It was run by Red Bull. So it being a Red Bull event, of course, they did feature Red Bull products heavily. And that was actually one of the big points of complaint from people who were attending. So I don't know if either of you were following this on social media, but you weren't allowed to bring beverages into the venue, which I guess is standard bar protocol, right?
Yeah, who needs water? Who the fuck needs water, Serene? What a bunch of assholes.
But like,
thinking they could bring water into the venue, fucking pieces of shit.
At this tournaments, is okay. Players need to have access to water, right? Like, I don't think they understood that. Here's the crazy.
No, I live on Red Bull, Zurian, okay? 24/7 Red
Bull. Well, you would have loved this event because Red Bull was $4 a can. You had to buy the Red Bull.
Wait. If you wanted water. They were giving people. Wait.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, you heard me right.
The Red Bull Dragon Ball Summoners Final, sponsored by Red Bull, that forbade people to bring water in, was charging people $4 for Red Bull? I would think the water would be $4, and the Red Bull, they would pay you $4.
No. So the water was $5.
Whoa!
The Red Bull was $4. Which is crazy to me, because if you were there the whole day for four LCQ tournaments, you were there from, like, what, 10 a.m. till, like, 7 p.m., the very end. And if you're competing, like, you're going to need water at some point. And, like, apparently they also sold out of water by the end of the day as well. And then, so I, of course, like, I was, like, tweeting about it. I was, like, making the Red Bull event. They're not giving out free Red Bull. We have to buy a bottle, like, buy cans, $4 a pop. And then, like, as soon as I tweeted that, for some reason, by, like, sheer coincidence, a waitress appeared and she was, like, giving out free Red Bull to everyone. In the audience.
Oh, what
and
I
was,
a like, luxury. Oh,
yeah, I'll take that. Thanks, Red Bull. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's just kind of weird, and I don't know if, like, that's what they're planning to do for the rest of their esports events, like, whatever Red Bull's planning, but, like, I don't know. There are problems there, and I can foresee, like, especially if you are a pro player coming from a team that is sponsored by a rival or a competitor, like, energy drink, I don't know how that would go down. So, I think there are a lot of issues to consider here, but, like, that alone, kind of, like, I don't know. We have to consider players' health as well. That's super important, especially, like, for long events like that.
So, what you're saying is that now, if they continue with this strategy, this entire thing, this entire esports Red Bull experiment / endeavor was all just to sell cans of Red Bull at Dragon Ball Finals?
Yes. Let's go with that.
I mean, they are hurting right now, the company,
mystery
obviously.
Mystery solved.
Are they? But they've been in esports for so long, right? Like, they're kind of like one of the original pioneers of, like, competitive gaming.
Yeah, and now the Red Bull is like, where's my ROI? Sell some friggin' cans of this stuff.
Mark up the bottle, Brian.
Well,
the bottle
you know
water.
What? When you have tens of thousands of fake viewers, you got to get the money from somewhere.
Ooh.
Is that actually true, Slasher? You think they have fake viewers? Tell us more.
Well, I mean, as I reported on last year during the Tekken and Street Fighter Red Bull Conquest Finals, they definitely use the Twitch-approved traffic inflation to get tens of thousands of fake viewership based on stream embeds on platforms like Gamespedia and Nexus Mods. On the bottom of the page, where the stream would auto-run on the bottom of the page, and that got them... I mean, they went from 15,000 viewers to, like, 65, and that was... You know, not normal. It's not a normal fucking thing. So, yeah, I know what your main thing that you were thinking of is, like, the branding there and not bringing water in, which, don't get me wrong, is really bad. But for me, sitting at home, watching online, the main thing I was looking for was, is Red Bull going to fuck this up again? And will I easily be able to figure out if they view-botted the stream?
Wait, okay. So tell us... give us the recap and some sources that are not your Twitter on
I am the source. I am the fucking source.
Okay.
Just because I posted on Twitter doesn't mean it's not real, because all the news articles
took my Twitter.
Where did you get those
numbers from?
There is a site called Twinge, twinge.tv.
Okay.
And nice. It is an unofficial Twitch kind of viewer, like, it tracks
analytics.
Viewership for analytics for every single stream, and it generally has like a peak viewership and how many views that you got over the course of the day.
So, you are confident enough in this tool. Whoa, spoilers. I haven't started Resident Evil 2 yet. But you are confident enough in this tool to, like, say that the numbers that they're pulling and that they're showing are accurate.
But what is Twinge? I mean,
it's just using Twitch's API. It's
to not just like, show the stats?
Yeah, just using Twitch's API to show the stats because you can't get it otherwise through, like, Twitch's own platform. Just like how, you know, Social Blade for YouTube works, or Social Blade for Twitch works, or however right. There's a bunch of sites that do third-party stuff. So they do, you know, tracking of events. And during the Red Bull Conquest stream, I looked at this, and they went from, you know, 20K to 70K within 20 minutes. And no matter what you say, that is not normal. The same thing happened on their YouTube videos, where they had, like, 500,000 views for, like, the preview intro YouTube videos for the Red Bull Conquest events. None of them were real, obviously. And it, from what I heard from other sources, and these are my sources, Red Bull has been doing this for, like, quite a long time. And I even had only one source, so I don't have two, and I haven't put this out there. I was told that Ninja's New Year's Eve event was also viewer inflated in the same way, and that Ninja's previous major events, such as the Esports Arena one in Vegas, also may have been promoted in this way because Ninja is a Red Bull athlete, and Red Bull promotes all of their streamers in a similar fashion. So that was the main thing that I was looking for this event. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, there is no Twinge data for Sunday. I actually don't know why.
For across the entire platform, or just their channel?
Just their channel. On Dragon Ball FighterZ on Sunday, there is no data. Now, I don't know why that is. The Saturday data is there, and it looks pretty normal just based on, like, the eyeball test of, like, trying to see how the viewership is. I don't think anything was shady, but I will say, after getting put on blast by, like, myself and other people in the industry, if they had half a brain, they would do it so it wasn't so fucking obvious like it was.
Yes.
So if they are inflating viewers, which they very could still well be, it is much harder to tell now because they didn't add 50,000 viewers in 20 minutes. It's now a generally more gradual increase. You can see the Saturday data for Dragon Ball FighterZ. It goes from, like, 0 to 30,000 within, like, the first hour, but it's the start of the grand finals, and it's on the main Dragon Ball FighterZ channel, so it doesn't seem so weird. Maybe it's a little bit too high of an increase, but I would think it'd be... It only peaked at, like, 30, 35K on the first day anyway, and then, like, 65K on the second day.
Okay, here. Let me load it up.
So this is the main thing that I was looking.
Okay, I'm looking at the site here. Walk me through it, and let's do a little esports analysis here.
Okay, so you just go to broadcasts, and then it should show you Sunday, but it doesn't. The last broadcast is on Saturday, which is the first day of the finals, and that shows you exactly what the peak concurrent was over the entire time span of the event. And you can see this for any channel on Twitch, all individual streamers, all event streams, etc., etc. It's the same. I mean, I will get you my tweet from the Red Bull Tekken Street Fighter thing where I was able to...
Yeah, I mean, like, that event was super obvious, right? Like, they went from, like, what did you say, 10,000 to 60,000 or something?
They went from 6,000 to 56,000 in, like, 10 minutes. So I linked my other tweet from November when that happened, Ryan, if you want to pull that on the screen. Where you obviously see some shady shit was going on with Red Bull. So if they learned a lesson of not being so fucking obvious with the way that they're promoting streams, it would be much harder to tell if they did this for Dragon Ball FighterZ. Now, I will say, this is a problem not just with the advertisers, and we'll probably get into this again in a little bit as we talk about the whole Twitch ad issue, which I think is actually kind of conflated into each other. They are related. The Pokemon and Ninja ad stuff. But Twitch, this is a service for Twitch. Twitch gets paid money by big advertisers and by big brands to put the Twitch embed on sites that Twitch owns or that Twitch is partnered with at the very bottom of the page on mute, auto-embedded, and live playing to inflate viewership that you would never know. Those people are not actually actively watching the stream, and they offer this in their packages for brands. So this is really more on
Twitch. Do you have screenshots or some sort of, you know, presentation deck that you can share, even if, you know, you remove, you know, any sort of identifying information?
I do have one source who has promised to get me that. I do not have the deck, no. But I have multiple sources that have told me that this is the case. These are ex and current Twitch employees.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, before you mentioned that, what was going through my mind is like, well, why would Red Bull want to inflate the viewership of their streams? Because the first thing that came to mind was, well, somebody doesn't want to get fired if the views aren't what they had promised, you know, the higher ups at Red Bull. But if what you're saying is true about, you know, them offering, let's say Twitch offering it as a service to other people, this is actually quite interesting, because if you reposition it as this is, you know, something that Red Bull is doing for Twitch as some sort of like kickback, I guess.
It's like everyone wins. Like, we bring your platform more exposure, more users see it. And I thought when people referred to bots for the Red Bull Conquest stuff that was happening way back in December or November, that was actually like view botting as opposed to the sneaky embed at the bottom of a random article. So you're referring to, Slasher, what you're referring to that Red Bull is doing is, are you saying that they are
allowed
doing the sneaky
embed? This is allowed. This is allowed by Twitch. This is the service that Twitch is offering. Twitch is offering this type of inflated viewership based on embeds. They didn't actually against the terms of service, use a view bot to inflate viewership. This is a service that is allowed by Twitch. I think it is incredibly fucking shady, and this is why I have called it out every single time that I have seen it. It's much harder to go back in time to see other previous events is because there have been so many, and I'm not quite sure who was sponsored with who, but it would not be surprising to me if there were many, many esports events in this past, especially ones sponsored by Red Bull that had this type of inflated viewership, which I never had noticed. During the Street Fighter and Tekken Finals Conquest event, you would like the entire fighting game community Twitter being like, oh my god, there's almost 100,000 viewers. This is fucking great for fighting games. So it really does have like a real effect when you do this on the people. Most people do not realize or understand that this is going on, or do not have the ability to find out, or just don't know how to find out. You two didn't even know where the fuck I was getting this information from before I told you right now. And
no,
you
I've
two
heard it before.
Know more about, like, yeah, but you two know way more about the industry than the layman who just watches video games and esports. So, like, those people definitely do not know that, like, something like this would be happening.
Okay. Well, to play devil's advocate, if this is what they're doing, if this is what Red Bull is doing, like selling or like buying packages from Twitch where their embedded streams are being showcased in certain pages or like silently embedded, as you say, is that different to having, say, for example, their stream featured on the front page of Twitch? Like, that is, one could argue, just another form of exposure or like featured advertising.
Fuck yes, that is way different. And that is included in the package, by the way. You get the carousel, you get the front page. Yeah. On Twitch, you get some marketing and promotional activation stuff. Yeah, this one is by far the most shady. Putting live stream embeds at the very footer of random, like, Wikipedia-type pages where no one sees it if you're on the page.
Okay, like, what site are we talking to?
Like, fandom stuff, right? Like, fandom owns a whole bunch of, like, the wiki stuff, like...
I'll find one right now. Hold on.
Like, imagine you wanted to learn Street Fighter lore, right, Ryan? Like, you could go to, like, the wiki pages, and maybe at the very bottom of like Ryu's like story about how he was born and like met his best friend Ken or something, at the very bottom is this little Twitch stream that's embedded that's like leads to the Red Bull Conquest Finals, and you are an extra viewer for this event without even realizing it.
I'll find you something. Give me one second.
I mean, here's the thing. I think this sort of pinpoints or highlights one of the big issues that I see, which is that everybody is focused on views, not focused on engagement and, let's say, how warm an audience is or how open they are to, let's say, buying an actual product. Because really what they're doing here by, let's say, artificially inflating the numbers by embedding them like this, is that your view count is high, but like these aren't necessarily going to translate into clicks and conversions of, you know, let's say taking an action like buying a thing or signing up for a mailing list or completing some sort of offer. So really, even though it seems like it's like puffing up esports, it's actually sort of probably, you know, devaluing it or damaging it in the long run.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And this is the argument that I've made every time Twitch does this. Maybe the advertisers don't know themselves yet, but every time Twitch does this type of service, they are definitely decreasing the entire market if advertisers find out in the future, because YouTube does not allow this. You cannot inflate your viewership through Google Ads or an embed through an advertisement on YouTube Live. You will not get, not only can you just not purchase it, you cannot inflate your viewership. So Nexus Mods is one of the biggest sites that is part of this issue. And I picked a random Dota Hero page. Like I went to a random wiki page on the Nexus, on the Gamespedia. Sorry, this is Gamespedia.
Let me pull it up. Okay. All right.
All right. Gamespedia is owned by Curse, and as you know, Twitch bought Curse last year. And that is part of this, by the way. Sorry I did not mention this aspect. Curse's websites, which include the Gamespedia websites, which is owned by Twitch, is one of the sites that has this the most in their service.
Well, it doesn't have it right now, though. So what you're saying is, here at the bottom, underneath the gallery, down by the bottom menus, that when stuff is going on...
Do you not see it?
No.
What do you mean?
Do you have Adblock on?
I'm using Brave, but I mean I can turn off the shields are up here. Hold on, let me turn shields down.
You see?
Wait. Hold on. Let's see. Here's the thing. This is what. Whoa!
Ryan,
there it is.
Have you not seen this before, Ryan? Really?
No. Okay. First off, what business does Gutex have on Dota on Gamepedia.com? I'm sorry, guys. Okay. All right. Here. So
that was just right a random page on Gamespedia. Gamespedia has like 50,000 index pages because it's a Wikipedia site. So, you know, it has an index for every single hero, and then has an index for like every ability under the hero, and under every single different index site is this stream.
All right. Well, to be fair, it did load up at the bottom, but it didn't autoplay.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
Mine didn't autoplay, but maybe I have some settings on. But if it autoplayed on yours, I believe you.
Yeah.
Because it just being...
It autoplays on mine.
It being here is really quite concerning.
Yeah, and I mean, so many people will just have that page up without even realizing that they're adding an extra view onto someone's stream.
And that is the whole point. That is, like, the entire business. And Twitch owns the fucking website, which is why they can put it part of the packaging in their marketing materials.
Oh, it's genius.
And which makes it so much shadier. Yeah, it's genius and one of the most awful
ways. Oh, and hey, look at, here's Pokimane is auto-playing here on the front page of Gamepedia.
Yeah, that too. That too, Ryan.
Hold on, I gotta turn off. Shields down, let's go, guys. I mean, see, here's the thing. Like, it's not Pokemon anymore. It's Night Blue 3. Here's the thing.
Whatever. It's the same shit. It's fine. It just changes.
It doesn't matter. You know, whatever. If they're gonna embed a stream here on the front page, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't really care about that. But here, let me try clicking on like some random page.
Yeah, click on a random page
and see what happens.
With your ad block turned off.
Oh, but it can't be the blog though. You're looking at the you have to go to an index page. Okay, you have to go to like a okay. go to like
there, let's go to wikis. Wikis.
Yeah,
go let's to go the wikis. To wikis and then. Okay, sure. Minecraft. All right.
Yeah.
Minecraft wiki. Random page.
Go to items. Just look up a random item.
Yeah, go to an item. You got to go to a hero or an item. You can't go to the main hub wiki because it won't.
Here, let me take that.
Why are you ad blocking, Ryan?
I use Brave because I believe in the Brave Attention token. Yeah, there it is. Oh, wow, it did autoplay. Wow, I know. Northern Lion does. Playing Minecraft for 6,000 people.
I think I also read an interesting I read an interesting article about this because some streamers were noticing the inflation of their viewers, but the chat was still very like much the same size, and they were wondering like what was happening because they were like, why have I got so many viewers all of a sudden, but the chatting, like the people who chat and who are active and engaged are still like a very small crowd, and not even they were aware that their streams were being featured on these pages.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's actually quite genius now, I think, the acquisition of Cursed and the family of Cursed web properties such as Gamepedia. Gosh, if only we would have had the money. This could have been ours, guys. Save your esports money.
We just spent like 20 minutes talking about how shady it is, and now you're like, damn, this could have been us.
Ryan's all about that esports dollars.
Money made in esports is usually about a quarter of what you would have made in the real world, but it's worth about five times as much once it hits your bank account, you know? So,
okay. Now, before we directly relate this to the Twitch ad controversy, which it is related. Let's just go back to Dragon Ball Z. Because the only other thing besides all this like stuff, which I was looking forward to see if Red Bull is inflating viewership, is that we don't know details, but they announced that the second year of the Dragon Ball World Tour will actually happen. This comes after I reported.
It's all coming together so that they could put this in there in the sponsor deck for Season 2 2019. Look at our views!
I mean, yeah, for sure. That is absolutely part of
genius.
Part of why that happened.
All right, Twitch.
So, but this is
hook your boy up. We're trying to take the Untitled Esports Show to the top of the charts.
Well, we're at 70 viewers now, so we're really close to getting up there. This was after I reported last year that Toei Animation, who is the owners of the Dragon Ball franchise and the rights to Dragon Ball, along with like a bunch of other shit, which I don't understand, because Japan is crazy like that. They were not letting Dragon Ball be at Evo Japan, and they were also making it very difficult for other tournament organizers like DreamHack to run Dragon Ball events. Now, after all this controversy came out, about a few weeks later, Harada, who is the franchise leader for Tekken, and that's his baby, he is now the new esports manager for all of Namco Bandai, which includes Dragon Ball, Tekken, and Soul Calibur. Now, we haven't heard from him much about that since he announced that, but I have to feel like he probably went in and was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Because he's like, you know, he's Harada, so he can do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping he helped fix whatever issues were going on with Dragon Ball and the rights issues and the tournament scene, and that is why we are now going to get a second year of Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour.
Okay. Can I just say, I heard something different, and I only have one source for this, so I don't know how much I can corroborate this with other stuff that's happening, but apparently all the licensing issues that were happening with Dragon Ball FighterZ it being pulled from like DreamHack and not being EVO Japan, people keep saying it's Toei, but it's actually Bandai Namco. And if we look at the evidence, it's actually super interesting because, all right, let's look at the existing games that Bandai Namco have already. Tekken, obviously, the Tekken World Tour. EVO was not on a Tekken, like, it was not a Tekken World Tour stop. Was Dragon Ball FighterZ a Tekken, like, a World Tour stop at EVO? Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour stop, was one of them EVO? No one got a Dragon Ball there, right?
I don't think so.
So something like that kind of lines up with what we've seen in the past, and maybe it's like Bandai Namco want to control this tour and like have it be their own thing rather than live off the backs of like third party events, that similar to the way that Capcom does their Pro Tour, right? So maybe that will continue. I don't know if that is something that Harada has direct influence on or has had direct influence on, or maybe he'll change it like coming in next year. Sorry, this year. But that is just what I heard. Apparently Toei's the one who's kind of being shot at by everyone, but it's like, that's so not the case.
Yeah, I did see that one tweet that Toei made on social saying, yep, like, we don't know anything about it. And it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. But it the way it was positioned made it seem like there was like the upper echelon copyright holder of the franchise that was stopping it. But maybe you're onto something. Maybe it was actually Bandai Namco all along. Ooh, the conspiracy runs deep.
But why would they not want Dragon Ball to be at EVO Japan? Why would they not want Dragon Ball to be at DreamHack events? I mean, they're not Riot. They're not Blizzard. They're not going to magically start hosting, like, you know, make their own venue, you know, make a gigantic venue, put all the events inside. I mean, yeah, they had the World Tour Finals, which they had to partner with Red Bull for, but I do not see them, you know, doing this in the future. It is much better for them, in my opinion, to partner with the existing events that go on in the community, including the biggest fighting game tournament in the world. It would make sense to me that would be an obvious thing to do. So it feels like there is something larger going on, and I kind of feel like if anyone could fix it, it would be Harada. Like, if literally anyone in the world could do it, that would be the dude.
Yeah, it makes sense. But, you know, thinking about how and why the Capcom Pro Tour came to be in the sense of partnering with existing events, I mean, do you really think that given the choice, if money were no object, that Capcom wouldn't have done the same? I guess what I'm saying is that Capcom, I think they did that because from a resource perspective, money-wise, it was much easier and cheaper to just partner with the existing events. Whereas with Bandai Namco, they have enough money to essentially be able to call the shots and run their own thing so that they don't have to deal with a lot of the situations that, you know, Capcom has to deal with when working with other events that they don't fully control.
Yeah, it's hard to say because we don't have insights into like how these companies work. And maybe there are other politics at play here, right? Like EVO Japan is just a franchise. Like, it's not the actual core EVO team who is running that event. It's like a totally different team. And maybe they have to balance like the relationship with the publishers over there. And there's something else going on that we may not know about. So, I mean, like, yeah, there is just, it could really be anything at this point. Yeah. But,
So did they put it back into EVO Japan? No, right?
Nope.
It's too late.
No Smash Ultimate and no Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Sounds like licensing issues.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So now, wait, the actual question in our show doc, which we still have not gotten to for the first topic, and we're like 30 minutes into the fucking show, is will Dragon Ball FighterZ Season 2 dethrone Street Fighter V as the number one fighting game? And I'm going to go to the expert, Mr. PogChamp. What are your opinions?
Great question. Great question, Slasher. I think that based on the new information that we have learned, the alleged new information that we have learned today about, you know, inflated Twitch viewership across multiple streams and events, I think even if Dragon Ball were to overtake Street Fighter as the most popular fighting game, would there be some debate about whether or not those numbers were really legit? So I think, you know, I guess it just depends on what package, you know, Red Bull bought from Twitch for the 2019 season. Because I'm pretty sure Capcom is not springing for that.
So, because okay, for example, Evo is probably going to be the most viewed event of the year for every fighting game, probably except for Smash. Maybe Genesis 6 actually next week is going to be the biggest Smash event of the year. But Red Bull would not pay for inflated viewership at Evo because Red Bull is not a sponsor of Evo. And Dragon Ball's best viewership was at Evo, which seems like it's more organic. So, Evo 2019, does Dragon Ball beat Street Fighter V? Without inflated viewership.
What were the numbers this year, I guess?
You mean in 2018? Well, yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ did beat Street Fighter, didn't it? Yes. It peaked at like 250k, and Street Fighter was like 200 and, I want to say, 20 or 30k. So technically, I mean, if you're looking at concurrent viewership itself, and one could argue that the time slot for Street Fighter was bad because it was running real late, West Coast time, which is even later in the East Coast, Dragon Ball had like the earlier time slot. But are you talking about in terms of viewership or entrance?
Because all things combined, everything combined.
I don't see why it would slow down. And based on, I mean, there, it's also possible that Capcom has a lot of stuff up their sleeve to. It's a possibility. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying it's possible. I mean, they've only released one character from Street Fighter 4, so maybe they reveal a bunch of stuff come Evo time. It shakes everything up and then gives Dragon Ball a run for its money. Not saying that's what's going to happen, just saying it's a possibility. I think the real question is whether or not Dragon Ball will be upstaged by Smash Brothers Ultimate, because I think that's a far more interesting bet.
Oh, come on, that's like an obvious one though.
Yeah. Almost to me too.
So then it's just a battle for number 2, not number 1.
Okay, but Dragon Ball versus Street Fighter 2019. I mean, I think Dragon Ball beat Street Fighter last year because it was the new, you know, the first year.
Yeah, it's a shiny new toy.
Yeah, whenever a fighting game gets their first year at Evo, it does, like, significantly well. And then the next year, usually not so well, unless you're Street Fighter 4, which Street Fighter 5 is not. So Capcom has fixed Street Fighter a little bit, and there's a little bit less hype for Dragon Ball. I think Smash Ultimate will obviously be the number one game at Evo, no matter what. And then it will be either Street Fighter 5 or Dragon Ball for number 2. I actually think, depending on the time slot, which Zareen is a very good point, it was really fucking late, Street Fighter V, the finals. I think Street Fighter V might be number 2. I do.
I think so too, honestly. I think because, you know, as the points that Slasher mentioned, it was first year for Dragon Ball. First year always inflates viewership and also entrance as well. And the other thing I was keeping an eye on over the weekend for the Dragon Ball World Tour finals was, what did the final like viewership peak at? And that was 62,000. Compare that to Capcom Cup at the end of 2018, that was at 125,000. So, you know, like that, I think these two numbers kind of show that Street Fighter V has longevity, and once like the appeal and the shininess of the new game like Dragon Ball wears off, that, you know, it'll kind of like the numbers will skew again.
Well, I think we're also forgetting a very important fourth fighting game that we talked extensively about last week, which was Mortal Kombat 11.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably is the dark horse in this particular view count race.
It's actually so fucked up. It's like, this is probably the greatest era for fighting games ever, except Capcom is so incompetent at their jobs that they fucked up Street Fighter this bad, where it might not be the case, just because the pinnacle game in the fighting games is in the state of that it is. But I would say otherwise, I would argue this is definitely like the height of fighting game history right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Event Hubs podcast pointed out that Capcom has botched the launch of every fighting game they've released since Street Fighter 4.
Yikes.
And that really puts it all into perspective. Shout outs to the Red Hubs podcast. They were like, yo, they botched Ultimate, or sorry, it was basically saying they botched Marvel 3, Ultimate, Cross Tekken, Infinite, and Street Fighter 5.
Damn.
Although, I mean, I think the Marvel 3 launch was...
Yeah, I thought Marvel 3 was pretty solid. Marvel 3 actually went pretty well.
But all the other ones, I mean, you know, definitely Infinite, Cross Tekken, Street Fighter 5. I mean, yeah.
And it blows my mind because this company was able to get Resident Evil 2 Remake out the door and everyone fucking loves it. And Monster Hunter was like Game of the Year for a lot of people. So, like, what the fuck is going on over there that you fuck up, like, your main... One of the main, like, game brands of the whole company.
Different dev teams, man.
Yeah, different. Yeah, definitely different everything. But now, I mean, you know, they got the Street Fighter Pro League. So.
Yeah, check that out on last week's episode if you want to hear us talk about it.
Yeah, no new updates on that front, I don't think.
Nope.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Thank you, Slasher. This is why you're the number one esports consultant. Got the data. And speaking of data, Twitch has come under fire recently for running the ads for Ninja's New Year's Eve event sponsored by Red Bull, as well as, I guess, a Pokemane event, which I completely flew.
The NFL.
Oh, ooh.
It was sponsored by the NFL.
People were mad because they felt like, oh, now Twitch is running ads for a streamer that's not me, and therefore I'm getting less views because this person is getting more views, and damn the man because this is taking viewership away from my whatever community substream or whatever. And here, let me pull up the apology, and then we'll talk about the analysis by former Twitch original and one of the first Twitch employees, Twitch's Justin Wong. Since December, there have been two instances of advertisements on Twitch, which we believed helped spotlight exciting events taking place on site with some of our creators. We recognize those good intentions caused concern across our broader Twitch creators that these advertisements may drive their audiences elsewhere and that we had unintentionally created a potentially negative impact with our efforts. Oh, we want you to hold us accountable. Glad you're here. Blah, blah, blah. And then Justin sort of went in and broke down line by line their non-apology.
I mean, it's very PR. Their marketing/PR people did their jobs, you know? If you had to put out a statement, this is probably the best statement that they could have put out possible.
I don't know about that. They kind of seem incompetent all the way around. But yeah, Justin does a pretty good breakdown. By the way, since we're on Cross-Counter TV, Ryan, you should probably tell people Justin Wong, the Twitch employee.
That's what I said.
Not equal. Okay.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Yeah, I said one of the original Twitch employees. Twitch is Justin Wong, not new.
Yes.
Not new father Justin Wong. Yeah. But yeah.
Got him.
So basically, you know, I guess what the general vibe from a lot of the Twitch, you know, streamers is that Twitch is, and I guess really the analysis from Justin Wong is that Twitch is what, losing touch with the community.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no fucking shit. Obviously, they've been losing touch with the community for like feels like almost a year and a half now. They've like fired several dozens of employees, early employees. They have let go people that we know personally from the company. All were original people at the company. Everyone else who had their stock options vested because they were there for 3 years have now left the company, including Justin Wong. The only person left is pretty much Wheat. DJ Wheat is the only one still over there who hasn't left the company yet. And they don't really seem to know what they're doing. And this comes at the price of the website in general and the company only growing more and more and more as Twitch's prominence continues to be more impactful on, like, the larger ecosystem of, like, online media and the internet. So, I mean, I don't hold everything against them because, you know, things are getting bigger over there. But they are definitely, there's definitely several instances of them losing touch with the community. This is only the most recent one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that they are wrong to, let's say, run ads for other streams on other streamers' channels?
Hell yeah. Look, if I was, this is the, what kind of put it into perspective for me. There was a streamer who tweeted, I can't remember who it was, but they tweeted something like, oh, I was planning a New Year's event to be really fun and like stream with my community. And then when they came into the stream prior to it, like, they were served an ad that was pointing to Ninja's New Year's stream. So, like, if I was that person in that situation, I would be like, what the hell, Twitch? Like, I'm working so hard, like, working just as hard as Ninja is, arguably. There's plenty of streamers out there who work just as hard and put in as much effort and have smaller communities, and they got to hustle, and they're not being, like, favorited by Twitch and shown, like, you know, extra or given extra exposure by Twitch to highlight the top content creators, which I think is like what their overall strategy seems to be right now. And that to me kind of like feels, you know, it just feels shitty. It's not a nice thing to do. So I could see why the streamers would get like angry or upset about this and that their reactions are justified.
You know, it's, I'm actually gonna have a hot take here. I really didn't have a huge problem with this going on. If a pre-roll advertisement for fucking Ninja and his Red Bull stream is gonna take people away from your stream, like, you didn't know that, like, Ninja was already gonna do this, and then at the same time you find it out, it's like, oh, well, fuck you, I'm gonna go watch Ninja now. Well, then you're just not entertaining enough, or you did not do a good enough job on your stream or your product to keep viewership in. And I really don't see, I don't see the issue of Pokimane and the NFL's ads or Ninja and his New Year's Eve ads really taking away viewership from other people. And if that really did happen, that is on you, the individual streamer and creator, to not suck so much at your stream and to be entertaining enough or whatever you gotta do to keep your own viewers there in the first place. You know, for me, it's more like those pre-roll ads were a lot more for people like hitting the front page, the home front page, or people just browsing in general and then saw the ads and then would go to their page. I really don't think dedicated viewers of certain streamers are then being like, ah, fuck you, bye, and then going to Ninja's stream and watching him because they saw a pre-roll ad for the stream.
You think, now, I mean, I feel like they occasionally people might be like, oh, Ninja stream from Times Square? That's crazy. Like, I've never seen that before. I wonder how it looks or how the setup is. I'm going to click through just to take a quick look, and then all of a sudden I'm there and, like, I'm invested and, like, it's really cool. Like, there is that potential as well.
No, I do get that.
And, like, that stream that he did had all the bells and whistles, like, it was a fully, like, sponsored thing. It was very flashy, like, and it was made to be, you know, to attract new viewers to Ninja's stream.
I mean, someone mentioned it in chat, but it's like people complaining that women streamers who, you know, show a lot of cleavage or whatever are taking away all my viewers. They're taking away all my viewers, all these fucking thoughts and e-girls are taking my fucking viewers. If only these bitches were on Twitch, I would have 5,000 viewers, I'd be fucking famous, and all this money, but no. All these fucking e-girls are taking all my fucking viewers. This is kind of how, this is like a similar way that I think about the complaining of other people. It's not exactly the same, but it really does feel like a similar type of whining.
It might feel to a lot of people, streamers that have spent so much time trying to build up their community on Twitch, that, you know, it might feel like it's you versus Ninja or you versus the man at Twitch or, you know, whatever. But really, it's you versus you. If you can't generate the viewership for your stream, regardless of what's going on in the outside world, then I just don't think that you've done a good enough job at cultivating your audience. And also, you know, something as specific and rare as like a once a year New Year's Eve thing, like I just don't, I feel like this was a good opportunity for a lot of people to just go do something else for a night, and nobody really, nobody really would have missed
Ryan, it. You're talking crazy this year. What do you mean step away from a stream for a night? Are you out of your mind? That's like $10,000 lost for like BS streamers.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is the sort of trap, the subscription donation monthly trap that I think a lot of people fall into, where you can end up becoming a victim of your own success, right? Like, you know, I was on the Trainwreck show the other day, and he was talking about how he took a long break. And I was like, oh, wow, like, what happened? He's like, well, it's been 4 days, man. And like, you know, I've lost a ton of subs. So now it's time to get back. Damn. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But you know, people feel as though they have, they can't stop for a moment. Otherwise, all, you know, their audience will forget about them instantly. And I just, you know, I just don't subscribe to that belief.
Literally. You literally do not subscribe.
I literally do not give them my $4.99 a month. I subscribe to the, it's under my control to make it what I want, despite what other people are doing on the other side of the platform or the internet or whatever.
Ninja actually talked about this today and how he is trying not to care so much about losing subscribers when he goes away for 3 days and he loses, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars because of it. It is, like, a legitimate problem, because subscriptions are, like, probably the ways that Twitch streamers make the most amount of their money.
Unless they're not diversified.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of the big streamers make a lot of their money through donations, but unless you're like one of them and you're getting some random guy to pay you $5,000 or who fucking knows what reason every fucking week or whatever, then subscriptions are your primary revenue source, then some sponsorships, and then, you know, the ads on whatever money you're making through advertising on the platform. So it is kind of, the Twitch ecosystem is like kind of fucked up in that way, where if you take 3 days off, like, people just cancel their subs. I actually find that whole thing kind of baffling. Like, your favorite streamer doesn't show up for 2 days, so you canceled your monthly subscription because he went to go, like, see his family in, like, in the other part of the world or whatever. Exactly. Like, you're this much of a fucking fan that you won't let him do that and still keep your subscription, and thousands of you won't let that happen? Like, come on, community. How fucked up are you to not continue to support people that you like because they want to go away for a few days?
Or that they want to go do something else on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, literally anything. It is kind of fucked up in terms of the community. Wait, so going back to the actual main point of this. So it's things that Justin Wong mentioned in his tweet storm, I think, are rather accurate. Mm-hmm. Twitch backtracked on this, but they had already, like, got a whole ton of shit, including from myself and from Justin and from a whole bunch of other people, for the Ninja New Year's Eve ads, and they consciously made the same decision again to do it for Pokimane. It's like, it's not like they didn't know, like, what was gonna happen, or they didn't understand the first time of, like, how serious it was. They already got so much shit, it was already publicized so much the first time, and they still went ahead and did it again, because Twitch likes money, and Twitch also likes getting money from the NFL. And I think, you know, Twitch says in this PR statement that they're not going to advertise individual streamers or on-site events again on channels. I think that's a lie. I think that's complete bullshit, and we will see it happen again. Maybe not, like, in the near future, because they've already had two shitstorms within, like, 2 months of each other, but maybe 6 months from now. Especially when E3 comes around, and, like, every major video game event in the world is going on during the summer. 99.99999% chance Twitch takes money if, you know, a gigantic brand wants to give them $500,000 for for a streamer. There's no way Twitch is like, nah, actually, we don't want that because, you know, some of our streamers aren't very happy right now. And what I will say is that, like, why should Twitch? Like, I get why everyone's concerned and complaining and critiquing Twitch, and I agree with a lot of them for the critique that Twitch gets. But is there enough competition right now, even with YouTube and with Facebook and with Microsoft, where if Twitch kept taking money to advertise certain streams and events on other people's streamers on their pre-rolls, are they actually going to switch? My gut tells me no. Not one of the streamers that are on Twitch now that is complaining about Twitch's practices are going to be like, you know what? Fuck Twitch. I'm going to Mixer. Or fuck Twitch. I'm going to YouTube. They're just going to hold that shit, and they're just going to keep complaining on Twitter and keep streaming on Twitch. So if I'm Twitch, maybe I just fucking take the be
take
ballsy.
Take the PRL. Take the PRLs.
Just do whatever. Just fucking keep going and take the money, because they're not going to switch anyway.
Yeah, like, we heard your concerns, and we appreciate your feedback.
Sorry.
Please stop. That's really disturbing. Damn, now I lost my train of thought.
That's a South Park reference, by the way, Zareen. I just want you to know.
Thank
I just
you,
wasn't
right?
rubbing my nipples for myself.
Because you wanted to do it?
Yeah, I mean,
I understood. No,
nothing wrong with that, by the way. Nothing wrong with that.
So the other thing, actually, that I wanted to mention before we went off on that little tangent was in the statement, I think, and if you pull it up again, Ryan, we might be able to see it. They said specifically that they weren't going to do it again to promote individual channels. Now, I wonder if that also means channels like LOL Esports or, you know, official, like the ESL official channel. What does it mean for those kind of channels? Oh, there you go. That's the one.
Yes. We always want you to hold us accountable, and we're glad you're here. We removed the most recent ad early Friday at the end of the campaign, and we'll avoid running advertisements in the future for on-site events and or creators that potentially drive your viewers to other Twitch channels. To which Justin says, huge commitment. I doubt they're prepared to keep. It's so broad, it must be an oversight or empty promise. They won't run ads for anything that potentially drives your viewers to other channels. Does this include esports like LCS or Overwatch League? What about E3? Or, what about TwitchCon? Because I can certainly see them running tons of ads for TwitchCon before, during, and after TwitchCon.
Twitch paid Blizzard $45 million a year for Overwatch League. You don't think they're going to run fucking pre-rolls in literally 2 weeks for Overwatch League? I actually think the way that they worded it, Justin is correct in saying that they're going to backtrack, just as I said, they're definitely going to backtrack on this. But on-site events might be in their wording specifically for individual single weekend sponsored events, not a long-term yearly contract like Overwatch League or LCS. And due to the way their wording is, that is not going to count for Overwatch League or LCS. There is absolutely no fucking way we are not going to see an onslaught of pre-roll ads for Overwatch League in 2 weeks. Literally 0% chance we are not going to see that, and more than likely LCS ads everywhere for the start. Mm-hmm. You know, as we go through the season, but especially for Overwatch League. So I would think that TwitchCon is part of that, like, packaging. On-site events, from their wording, is more than likely for a partnered, sponsored event, not their own event, and not an already existing major event like an E3. Because I definitely think we will see pre-rolls for that no matter what. So, but what's fucked up for Twitch is the way that they worded it. All that's going to happen is when Overwatch League starts in 3 weeks, we're going to have this whole conversation again, and everyone's going to have a whole shitstorm again because Twitch is incompetent at their PR and their jobs and not know how to do marketing correctly or talk to their community or talk to viewers. So everyone's going to complain again, even though I think it's kind of redundant by now. And I understand some of the streamers' concerns, but I think a little bit of this is, you know, it is a little bit funny. And I also say, tying it into what we were talking about earlier with like Red Bull, this is on the brands and Twitch. This is not on individual streamers. Don't be giving Pokimane hate. Don't be giving fucking Ninja hate because of this. This is Red Bull and the NFL paying a lot of money to Twitch to take these deals. Obviously, individual streamers have like some say and insight into this, but you think like they're going to say no to tens of thousands, a hundred thousands of dollars because it might upset some people, other like partners on the platform? No, it's not a reasonable thing at all. So really, I think the pressure on Twitch is very good, like the community pressure and the critique of them, but there should be more criticism. If they really, really care about this and they don't want big brands advertising pre-rolls, then you got to go after Red Bull and you got to go after the NFL because they're the ones that paid Twitch. Twitch is, in the end, the one that accepted the money, and they're the one like at the very top of the food chain in terms of letting this happen. But if brands are going to pay for it, then you know, it's only going to continue to happen. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, one other side note. If any of these other streamers that are complaining right now got offered 50 grand to do a major weekend event, they're going to fucking take that money and shut the fuck up and not mention any of this. And they're going to do literally the exact same thing if they were as big as Pokimane and Ninja.
Yep, exactly.
Of course.
It's not selling out, it's cashing in, baby. And, yeah, I mean, speaking of cashing in...
Time to roll an ad.
Time to roll an ad. Hey! I know, right? Nah, this is an ad-free show until, you know, Red Bull or Twitch or whatever. Trying to run these pre-rolls. okay, I'll tell you who's not trying to cash in on esports, guys. Would you believe me if I told you that the NCAA is trying to act like they don't want any part of esports? They're not trying to cash in on esports.
Now, is that a good, like, as someone who doesn't follow traditional sports very closely, I assume this is a good thing, right? Because I've only heard bad things about the NCAA.
Yeah, same. I looked at this and some of the things that the president of the NCAA, Mark Everett, was saying at their annual convention. And I was like, well, NCAA really doesn't have like the best reputation for like treating everybody fairly, because this is like a multi-gazillion dollar business that is built on top of the efforts of essentially amateur athletes. And they try to keep it that way by not giving the players anything, because the way that I understand it is like, oh, well, that would compromise like the integrity of our collegiate athletes, blah, blah, blah. But to me, it just sounds like that just means more money for the NCAA to keep. So when their president is saying things like, hold on, let me pull up the quote. Oh, God damn it. I can't even read the whole friggin' article anymore because I had it open too long. look at that.
Las Vegas.
Yeah. Fuck out of here. All right, here. You guys just have to take my word for it here.
Yeah, incognito.
Here.
Are you revealing our secret dog?
I know. So he says, "We know a lot of the content is hugely misogynistic," Emmert said. "We know that some of the content is really violent. We don't particularly embrace games where the objective is to blow your opponent's head off. We know there are serious concerns about health and wellness around those games." But last time I watched football, there were lots of attacks made to the head of different football players. So I think this is one of those instances. It kind of reminds me, like, in the past when cryptocurrency was a lot newer, and then you would see these people on CNN that were like existing like financial bankers talk about how, oh, Bitcoin is fucking bullshit and like this is gonna like wreck everything and like, oh, you should be wary and blah blah blah. But that's like one of those like stages of like denial or like It's like the first step is denial, and the second step is they make fun of you. The third step is they try to trash you, and then finally, like at that point, step four is you've won. And so I can see a lot of the same sort of sentiment here with NCAA. What do you guys think?
I mean, do we really need the approval of the NCAA to begin with? I just don't understand why this guy's opinion is relevant to esports in any way or form. The NCAA doesn't do anything in esports currently. I know they were interested in getting involved at one point.
I think the angle is that there's a growing number of colleges and universities that are integrating esports programs into their, you know, their operation. So the natural progression is for some people to think, oh, well, like, what about the NCAA? Shouldn't we get them involved so that they can help us run our esports tournaments and programs?
Oh, God, no, keep them far away. We don't want them to come near it at all. Yes, it's misogynistic. It's awful. It's really violent. Don't come near it. There's so much blood and gore.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, as Ryan mentioned, the NCAA is most known for making billions of dollars off the backs of college athletes, paying them no fucking money, and not giving in to rights in, like, video games or, like, jerseys, anything the college athletes, and they're kind of pieces of shit all around for this. Secondly, real sports is where you get CTE and concussions, and you have people breaking legs in the NBA every other week, which I love the NBA, and I don't really care about football so much, but you get actual injuries in sports. Not in video games, where things aren't fucking real, so nothing happens because it's not real. Yeah, there is, like, wrist injuries and, what is there, carpal tunnel, and that is, like, a thing people have to worry about, and, like, posture, and, like, all that other shit that comes with, like, sitting in front of a computer for a long time, but you actually get real physical long-term health issues with sports, not with video games. It's one of the actual advantages of video games that you can't do. So it is quite funny to hear the NCAA talk about this. Now, there are two things I will say, Zareen and to Ryan. One, I do think that one of the next frontiers for esports in terms of the growth phase, not just esports, but competitive gaming as a whole, will be on the collegiate and high school level, and that the popularity of college sports in America, like, college football and college basketball is, like, so goddamn popular, more popular than some other sports. Like, I would think college basketball, college football are bigger than hockey in America. And, you know, it would be really nice to have that type of system for esports. All the individual schools are doing this themselves, and some of them have tried to do esports things within, like, their conferences. I think, like, the Pac-12 and the Big East each have League of Legends partnerships. Big Ten with Riot. And that probably is the better way to go if each of the individual conferences work with the developers instead of the NCAA as a whole. But I really do think that collegiate activity and high school activity is going to be one of the next big frontiers in terms of getting people into esports and gaming at a younger level, and then giving them a better road to approaching pro status than grinding 14 hours a day, hustling in scrims and making no money, and then maybe never getting going pro and then ruining your whole life. Like, it would be better if there were more scholarships so you could go to school and, you know, do your classwork and then also play at the same time and then try to go pro that way. And probably the only way this is going to happen is through the NCAA. Like, I don't know how exactly everyone is supposed to get around this Goliath monopoly fucking thing that is in the way of everything. As I said, it would be better if the developers worked directly maybe with the conferences or the individual schools, but at the end of the day, the NCAA kind of runs the show. So if collegiate activity is this important, I'm up for solutions on how getting around the NCAA, but I do think it is something to consider, as much as I dislike them for everything else mentioned. Point number two was, okay, being misogynistic is kind of ridiculous. Yeah, of course. Video games and esports does have problems with racism. It does have problems with sexism. These are all, like, legitimate concerns to be aware of when talking about video games and esports. Like, you can't just say that it doesn't exist. But, like, as a larger thing, no, it's wrong. On the violence end, though, I will say, I even saw an article, I believe it was in Adweek, maybe right before the start of the new year, which I will try to find, and a major brand even told Adweek they refuse to sponsor Counter-Strike and Call of Duty tournaments because of the violence. So, while I do think that is much less impactful than, like, real-world violence of getting your head knocked in and being paralyzed or whatever, there are concerns outside the NCAA from major sponsors and brands of sponsoring games that have graphic violence. So while I don't care and I realize that these games are not real and the shooting person in a head in a video game doesn't impact reality, some brands don't want to be attached to it. I do think that it's the same. It's one of the main reasons the Olympics doesn't want esports either, is because a majority of the games in esports are all violent games. Like, the amount of non-violent games or esports are very, very few. Like, maybe Rocket League and the sports games. And you could say, like, the amount of violence in League of Legends is rather ambiguous because it's a very cartoony type of game and there's no blood or whatever, but you're still kind of killing things. One of the aspects of esports is so good is that you get to kill everything in virtual reality, and that's kind of one of the appeals of video games, but it doesn't necessarily work with larger brands or, you know, systems like the Olympics or the NCAA.
Yeah. Ryan, you were making faces out there that told me you did not agree with Slash's statement that college sports is the next level that esports needs to hit.
Ah, well, it's great that you brought that back up, Zoreen, because I was talking with the world's number one esports consultant about specifically high school esports, and I quote, he said, no one cares about high school esports, Gutak. Nobody cares. Nobody watches that.
Nobody care. Nobody gives a shit right now. They just will in the future.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, like, why? Okay. Let's say, for example, some of these players are already, like, very young, like 15-year-old, playing in the pro tours already, pro tournaments, in the pro scene. Why would they skip that to compete at, like, in their little high school tournament? You know, like, Sonic Fox was 15 when he was winning Mortal Kombat tournaments already. Like, I don't understand why limiting high school, like, limiting it to high school will do anything.
I think it's not so much about, let's say, choosing to compete at the collegiate level versus the pro level. I think it's more about building the infrastructure so that those players out there who are aspiring pros who haven't yet made it to that level have a clearer path to follow.
Yeah.
Right.
That is more of the case. Also, there's only like one or two LeBrons in the world. Yeah, there's a Faker. Yeah, there's a Sonic Fox. But we don't hear about the thousands and thousands of other people online who try to go pro at video games and then just never make it. They just never make it because they were really good, but they were never, like, the best. And they spent years from 17 to 25, and they got really close, so they couldn't do it. Or they were pro for a little bit, but they couldn't do it. The amount of, like, incredible top-tier 1% 16-year-olds in the world are, like, like, you can count them on one hand in esports. So I do think, like, while there are some examples of that, Zoreen, the amount of failures that we don't hear about far outweighs that number. And it would be better if those people were able to get, like, a full scholarship ride, which we are seeing much more now for different schools around the country who are introducing esports scholarships to get, like, at, like, a major school. It's not like the dinky bullshit schools like RMU, whatever the fuck it was, that we heard about, like, a few years ago. We're having, like, legitimate universities that have, like, actual schooling in place, getting a full ride there. I think that is important.
We apologize to all RMU graduates who are being right now. But, like, going back to what Ryan said earlier, do you think people will actually be watching these tournaments?
No one cares about high school esports.
I think there's going to be the same amount of people, if not more, that will watch high school sports, football, basketball, or whatever. I mean, imagine, put yourself into the minds of you when you were in high school. I mean, you know, I went to football game. This, I mean, you know, maybe it was different. You guys are younger, but I went to football games in high school and I was like, this sucks. But if I were that age and was watching, you know, my high school versus the rival high school down, you know, the, you know, on the other side of the city or the state or whatever, you know, I'd be all about it. And I think the real potential, the untapped opportunities within high school and collegiate esports, and even esports at a little league younger level, is the money from the parents, because it's not the kids that are going to be spending the money on whatever they need, whether it's hardware or travel or lessons or any of these things. It's going to be the parents, because, you know, there's lots of parents out there, you know, like, that will pay for their kid to participate in, you know, little league baseball or, you know, basketball or, you know, music lessons, stuff like that. But I think, like, this current generation and future generations will be more inclined to make sure that their kid has the best chance of being the next, you know, esports future superstar.
I mean, I think two things have to happen along beyond, aside from the NCAA and everything that they bring in. One, it has to become more culturally acceptable and kind of prominent within high school and college kids, where, yeah, everyone goes to, if you live in Texas, you are going to a fucking Texas football game sometime in your life, because that is almost as big as the Cowboys there. Like, and a lot of schools, especially in the South, who don't have professional football teams, their college football team, like, is like the thing for the entire state or the city. And going to games for colleges and a little bit and somewhat of high school is like a thing that everyone goes and does, where going to see a collegiate esports competition is not even remotely in like the top 15 things you could even say that you would go fucking do at this point in time. So
not now.
So that has to change. And the second thing is, there has to be more direct correlation between going to a top school and then getting drafted or whatever into the pro leagues. So that you know that if you go to a school and and that school has like a pretty solid esports
sort of
university,
like a feeder team into the pro league teams.
Yeah, it's the same. Like, a part of the reason people watch college basketball and football is because they're looking for who is going to be the number one pick in the draft, who for the NFL or the NBA. That's like a gigantic reason people watch college sports. And right now, no one is looking towards the collegiate teams to find out who the next best player is. And I would argue that that is still not even the top three ways that you try to find the best players in esports right now. Usually it's on the top of the in-game ladder of whatever game it is. It's on top of the ladder on the third party application for whatever game it is, like FPL. Or you look at people that are scrimming and practicing at like local tournaments for fighting games or online for team esports. So until that changes, until I think those two things change, besides the NCAA and like what they're doing, people won't necessarily care about watching collegiate or high school sports. I think that's going to take a lot more time to develop into something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a cultural change, an infrastructure change, a little bit of... It's just like changes all around, right? So I think the cultural one's the biggest one. I think video games, like, while we have seen a lot of success and growth, and I think we're about to touch upon this in our next topic on social media, but like people talking about video games, it's very mainstream now. Even so, like, it's not as big as, like, esports is not... has not reached that level yet, and it still has a lot of time to go before it does get there.
Right. Okay, so probably last topic.
We could do Farming Simulator. We could probably fit these last two in 5 minutes. They're not huge.
I wanted to also see if there were any, maybe there would be some any interesting questions in the chat. Zareen, I know you gotta go. You got a prior engagement. Okay. Let's say, okay. Twitter CEO says esports and gaming content is one of the most talked about things on all of Twitter. I'm not sure if they're taking into account the President Trump tweets, because it seems like that's one of the things that is also driving a lot of traffic to the Twitter platform.
So I found the interview. It was like a 2-hour long interview with Bill Simmons, who's formerly of ESPN, and he runs The Ringer now, and he has a pretty large podcast network. He was able to interview Jack because Jack has been doing a bunch of interviews in press lately because Twitter is under fire from all types of different shit. And part of the context, which I didn't include in the video, was that he was talking about things that are not politics, because the discussion was around politics, Twitter, and Trump, and people, which is another point, like people getting too involved in politics Twitter. And he says, if you avoid politics Twitter and everything about that, there's actually several other things on the platforms which drive insane engagement, and it's to have some of the most, some of the largest traffic on all of Twitter. First, he mentions NBA Twitter. And then the two things that he mentions specifically are K-pop, which does not surprise me, as if anything regarding, like, who are the big K-pop?
BTS.
BTS or whatever. They have, like, hundreds of thousands of retweets, like, literally every day. That community is insane. But besides them, he specifically mentions esports and video games as the second most trafficked thing on the entire platform behind K-pop, and not including politics. So I thought it was noteworthy that he specifically mentions esports along with gaming. He didn't just say video games. He said esports as like a second category to gaming alongside of it, which I think is pretty cool. And the other thing I'll note is that he, in this context of this conversation, he was talking about going to see communities that don't have toxic behavior like politics Twitter. And I found it rather amusing that he mentioned video games and K-pop Twitter as things that don't have toxic environments. You're so fucking cute, Jack. You're just a fucking... You're just a cute little guy. Cute little guy.
Well, I'm sure it made for a better soundbite than talking about the popularity and the struggles of dealing with political issues on Twitter. Much easier to just say, oh, yeah. There's all kinds of good stuff going on Twitter, like esports and K-pop discussion. Okay.
We have no toxicity in video games.
I do wonder how they break out the esports versus gaming chatter. Like, is it like, if you're talking about Fortnite, right? Like, is that gaming specific or, like... At what point do you break that out into esports? Anyway, that's just like me pulling hairs about stuff like that.
You know,
that.
For Jack, he might not know the difference. I don't know how much Jack is aware of like the nuance of the difference. I mean, for me, yeah, there is a difference between Fortnite is not esports. Fortnite could represent competitive gaming, I think, in a larger way, which you could tie into esports. I think with the industry you're growing, that's actually going to be a problem for more going forward.
Defining the difference between just regular gaming and esports.
Or competitive gaming, or like streaming culture. Like, those are all kind of, people interchange like all of those things all the time. People call Ninja like the greatest esports player in the world or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And he was a professional esports player. He loves esports. He's probably technically a little competitive gamer, but he's not an esports professional right now. And I think it's really hard for people that don't know the industry really well to be able to differentiate between.
Well, speaking of differentiating between industries, there is a new, real quick, there's a new esports title / genre on the horizon. That's right. It's time to live off the land, because Farming Simulator is bringing $284,000 to competitive Farming Simulator, which I will be honest, had never even knew that was a thing. How can we be more competitive with our crops? And is this is it too early to plant the seeds now?
I can't believe you just said that. Love me a good pun. I will admit I'm not plant a farming simulator expert, but I don't, like, I want to know how they how does the competitive scene work? Like, how do you compete in Farming Simulator against someone else? Is it like your farm is more successful or has more value? Like, what is the actual thing? But that being said, I was super impressed with the amount of sheer money they are putting up into this Farming Simulator tour. How much was it?
$284,000. And
for, oh my god!
For reference, Capcom Cup 2018 winner Gachikun walked away with $34,000 less for traveling all across the world and, you know, handing out beatdowns through all of 2018. But hey, you know what? Maybe we just didn't understand the real value of virtual farm goods.
That's so crazy to me. Like, what is their, what is the size of their audience? What must it be for them to be able to hand out like this much of a prize pool? That's just like, Tekken got so much less. Like, if we even had a fraction of that, like half of that, I would be so happy. So it's crazy to me that Farming Simulator's kind of come out of nowhere with this huge prize pool for a scene that I didn't even know exists.
Same.
Farming Simulator is more esports than fighting games.
Ooh. Well, hey, you know what?
That one hurt.
No argument there, but here's the thing. Is that money and our sort of lack of knowledge about the competitive Farming Simulator scene, does that say opportunity to anybody else? Are we going to go down this path, or sorry, this, you know, freshly picked fresh dirt road with no weeds in it, and and really sort of shift gears, and, you know, what do you guys think? Is this enough to get you guys to at least install Farming Simulator? I mean, as esports professionals, I mean, Rod, you're the number one esports consultant. I mean, don't you find that as the number one consultant, you need all a diverse set of knowledge about all the different esports titles and genres?
Yeah, I'm already on my farm right now.
Oh man,
he doesn't even play Street Fighter, right? Come on, man, you already knew the answer to that question.
We're behind schedule, Zoreen. Me and you, we're gonna have to catch up to Rod, because now the stakes have been raised.
I got my cattle already. I got the grass feeding in and the raising of the crops. I got my tractor. I got a new.
No.
Our
John
boy
Deere. I got a new John Deere fucking tractor. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Our boy Katy Perry says, "Man, listen, if they wanted to do this right, they'd give the winner his own IRL farm." There we go. Yeah, thank you, Katy Perry. One. You're the only one that got stakes raised. Yeah, get it? Get it, guys?
I got it. I just chose not to react. Anyway.
All right. Anyways, guys, we got to wrap it up. Lorraine's got to go see some cartoon about
Dragon Ball.
Whatever.
Maybe I'll buy a Red Bull while I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Send them, hashtag them, hashtag Summoner's Finals after you buy that Red Bull can.
You know, thanks, Lorraine, for supporting, you know, the indie companies in our space.
That's what I'm all about, you know. Just lifting up the small yep. fish streamers, kind of mm-hmm. helping them get that slice of the pie. That's what I'm all about.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, I guess we shall reconvene next week and talk more about top tier farming strats. Slasher, where do people go for more of the world's number one esports consultant?
I don't know, Google me or something on the internet. I don't really do shit. I'm shitposting currently. How about you, Ryan?
Ah, great question. You can follow here on wherever you're watching. Hit the follow button. There will be iTunes releases very soon of this podcast, as well as the other ones that we got coming down here on the pipe here on Cross Counter TV. But you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Gutex. Zoreen, what about you? Where do people go?
I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked, Ryan, actually, because I recently managed to update most of my social media handles. So you can find me at Team Zoreen on YouTube, Team Zoreen on Instagram, and Team Zoreen on Twitch. And on Twitter, I am Zoreen.
All right.
Oh, you did it.
You did it.
I did it. I did it. All on my own. Didn't even need to hit up staff.
Great job.
Easy.
Easy. Easy esports money.
Easy esports money. All right, guys. I'm going to get to planting these seeds. Farming simulator calls. Thank you.
I got Farming Simulator in one hand. I got Smash Ultimate in the other. I'm about ready to fuck up Gutex at the same time.
All right. Wait, just speaking of it, did you get your Switch? No.
No.
That's okay. We can go heads up in Farming Simulator. All right, guys. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, money matches.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching, and we will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. See you later. Bye.